Let's pray. Living God, we thank you for your word. And as we think now about this passage, would you make us receptive to what you want to say to us this morning? Holy Spirit, would you use the words that I speak? Would you open our ears and our hearts to hear you today, that our lives might reflect more and more the light of Jesus for your glory and our good. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I don't know if you've been watching the Women's World Cup. Has anyone been watching that? Each evening, the BBC put together a highlights package. It's just a few minutes long. You can sort of watch it and just catch up on everything that's happened in the day. It gives you like a snapshot of what's been happening. And the BBC do this for major sports events. And in the 2012 Olympic Games, they did it a lot. And we're going to show behind me here, there'll be a video. We're not going to hear the sound. We could play it now. But not, you'll see the video, but not the sound. Of one particular evening in the 2012 Olympic Games when this was the highlights package at the end. And you're given these kind of snapshots of things that had happened that day or the previous days. And as you watch, you see just little snippets of the action. And you'll see kind of athletes winning medals or particular guy stroking his beard or particular crashes and events, things that have happened over those days. And I remember this video quite clearly toward the end of the Olympics because they played over this video a song. And the song was this: "What have you done today to make you feel proud?" I'm not going to try and sing it, don't worry. Heather Small, "What have you done today to make you feel proud?" And if you were being honest as you sat and watched this video, we can stop it there, Brenda, that's fine. If you were honest, you probably would say, well, probably not that much today in comparison to what these people have been doing. I've done a spot of gardening, or I've been down the shops, or I've been to work, and you know, these folks have won gold medals and broke records. We might feel a little bit dispirited. You might feel, actually, my option of Olympic pole vaulting is probably over, having seen what those guys are able to do. And it may be that as we watch those kind of snapshot summaries, we felt a little discouraged. Now, today's reading that Elodie read for us might have the same or a similar effect, because what is happening in that reading is Paul is looking back over his time in Thessalonica, and he's given us just a snapshot of what happened in his visit. And if you look, for example, if you've got the Bible open, page 1186, at verse 10, Paul says this: "You're witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you." And maybe if we are honest with ourselves and think, well, how holy and righteous and blameless have I been? It could be the similar effect to watching those Olympic athletes. We are unable to compete with this level. But actually, what the BBC were trying to do, we'll put the next picture on the screen, they weren't trying to put you off. They were trying to inspire you. The campaign was called Get Inspired. And around the Olympic Games, the idea was that a whole generation of people would be inspired to get into sport at whatever level and just be active, more active than they were before. And that was a huge part of the Olympic program in London. Get inspired. And I'd like us to take the same approach this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Not to be discouraged and put off or critical of what Paul might have said, but to use it as an opportunity for some self-reflection and allow ourselves to be inspired by what we read in these verses. Now, that's something that we do here for a few minutes on a Sunday morning, but actually, I'd like you to keep doing it during the rest of this week. So I'm going to ask Mike and Jackie, you've been up, maybe you could help me again. Or maybe Dan's here. Let Dan do it, Jackie, right. Could you hand those around? I could just take one. So everybody has one. And what I've given you here on this little card to take away and take home is just two questions that I think come up in this passage to help us reflect on our lives in the light of this snapshot that we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So on that side of the card, you've got those two questions. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. What motivates us and how far will we go? I just want to talk about them for a few minutes now. But the idea is that you would take these away, that you would look at these during the rest of this week, maybe in the home groups on Wednesday or Thursday, maybe with a friend, maybe on your own, whatever, however it works for you, that you'd continue to think and reflect and be inspired by what we see in this passage today. So as those are going round, I think Dan, Pauline and Katie down here have not got one yet, so you'll get one in a moment. But as we look at this passage, just a quick recap of what's happening here. So Paul has been with Silas and Timothy to Thessalonica, and he was there for a brief time. He had to leave because of opposition, because of violence, and he had to sort of run away in the middle of the night. You can read all about it in Acts chapter 17. And he's now writing his letter back to the church in Thessalonica. And last week, we began in chapter 1. We saw how, according to Paul, living in the light begins with God. It leads to action, and it cannot be hidden if we are committed to living in the light. Can't be hidden. And I know that there's thousands of stories Jackie has about the impact that their lives have on other people. And you might like to ask her about some of those when you chat to her later. But questions that Paul addresses in this passage, they're in two parts. We can look at the two here. The first is about motivation. What motivates Paul? And I think this is fascinating because in verses 1 to 6, Paul really addresses the question of his motivations. Now, Paul had to leave quickly from Thessalonica. He had to run away. And it may be that some people were saying, you know, Paul doesn't care. Paul is a guy who runs off at the first sign of trouble. He legged it straight away when trouble brew up here, didn't he? And so perhaps Paul is needing to defend himself a bit to say, well, actually, no, my motives were this. And Paul begins in verse 2 there in the passage saying that we'd been outrageously treated in Philippi. Now, if you know your Acts, Acts chapter 16, Paul was in Philippi. He was beaten up. He was imprisoned. And he had a terrible time. And he comes straight from Philippi to Thessalonica. And many of us, perhaps I, would have tried to lay low, keep quiet, not make any trouble for myself. But he didn't. He went straight to Thessalonica, preaching openly in that city. And so he goes on to deny three claims about his motives. Verse 3, he says, we weren't trying to trick you. Verse 4 and 6, he says, we weren't trying to please people. And verse 5, we weren't after your money. We weren't being greedy. And he had to defend himself against these accusations of motives like greed or of just trying to please people. And I wonder whether you know that experience of being accused of having an ulterior motive or a different motive than the one you had. I know that those running for prime minister this past week, there's been lots of questions. Why is it that you want to do this? Why would you want to do this job? Because people are, frankly, a bit amazed that anyone would want to. Why would you want to? And for us as Christians, as we live, as we do things for people or with people that may raise questions for them, why are you doing this? Why are you offering me a meal and not wanting any money for it? Why are you giving me so much time and attention? And people sometimes assume that we have other motives. It may actually be a good sign if people start asking about our motives. It's what we want, isn't it? That they ask, why is it that you are behaving like this? In the past week, here at church, I have experienced two times, people being sworn at and accused of having other motives for doing something. Twice in this past week, because those people were trying to serve and were trying to do something that for the outside folks looking in just didn't make any sense. And so people think, well, are they just trying to trick me, or are they just trying to do something else? Why is it that this is happening? And that can easily be the case. It was the case for Paul, and it can be the case for us. But Paul is very clear. Verse 4, he says this. What is his motive? Verse 4, he says, we are not trying to please people, but God. You see, Paul was trying to please God. His love for God was what was driving him. It was his love for God. And then verse 8, he says as well, because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel, but our lives. It was a love for God and love for people. And none of this is new to those of us who have been in church for a while. Jesus himself in Matthew 22 says, doesn't he? What is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor. Love for God and love for neighbor. Those are the motives. Those are the things that should drive us as people aiming to live in the light and follow Jesus. So here's the reflection and here's the question on that card, which I want you to take away and keep with you this coming week. What is it that motivates me? Why do I do what I do? Honestly, deep down. And that's not to try and condemn anybody or make you worried, but to inspire you to the motivations that Paul had. Love of God and love of others. But it's not an easy question to answer, that one, what motivates us. I want you to look at a picture on the screen of a train. And can anybody tell me what is unusual about this train? Thank you, Ian. He's right in there. And why is that unusual? Absolutely. Yes, we have Ian up here speaking. Yes, it's a clean energy. The only thing that it produces is pure water. Pure water, absolutely. And this train, this picture, is the first ever hydrogen-powered train in the UK. It was unveiled early this week and it was on the news. You may have seen it. It's driven by hydrogen. But I was listening to someone reporting on this who went on the journey and they said this. They said, if you were sat on this train, you would have no idea that the train was being driven by hydrogen. You don't know. It could be electricity from a wire above. It could be diesel or petrol. I guess if it was horse-drawn, you might notice it was going a bit slower. But in general, you don't know what is driving the train. You don't have much. It's hard to tell what is driving this train. It's hard for us as people to work out what is it that's motivating me, what is it that is driving me. And it may be that it may be something not pure, something that is producing pollution, something that's pumping out all sorts of nonsense into the atmosphere. And ultimately that will become clear. But we may be fooled or not clear what it is that is driving us. Our motives are to love God and love others. That's the pure motives that we are called to have. And so I wonder what it is that does motivate us when we serve tea and coffee after the service, or when we come for the place of welcome on Tuesday, or whatever else we might do as part of our service here at church. Do we do them sometimes out of a sense of duty, or because we're embarrassed not to, or because somebody twisted our arm, or because we want to look good, or because we think it's the right thing to do? And actually, we've missed the main motive. The thing that's driving us is not the pure hydrogen, is not the love of God and the love of others. On the back of this little card is our 2020 vision. I want to put that into your hands so you can have it and take it away. It's what as a church we are looking to do and to be. And the first one on there is going in mission. We want to be a church that is going in mission. What is our motivation for doing that? If our motivation is so that we get more people sat here on a Sunday, or so that we can build a bigger kitchen, or so that we can look good, or anything else, then that is a non-pure motive that is pumping out pollution. If our motive is love of God and love of people, then that produces just, well, I don't know how far you can push this, produces pure water. It does not produce anything harmful. And actually, what does water do? Well, water revives and gives life, doesn't it? So, our motives. What are our motives? Let's go away and think about that during this week. And do, if you're part of a home group, do bring it up in home groups this week. Do bring it up and talk to people and come back next week and be having that conversation. But there's a second part to this, verses 7 to 12. How far will we go? Sticking with a sort of travel motif. When Paul talks about his commitment to the church in Thessalonica, he uses two images. He says, we were like a nursing mother, and we were like a father. It goes to a mother and a father. And we have here in our church lots of living, clear examples of mothers and fathers who care for their, and there's one out there right now in the reception area. And so as you look at mothers and fathers this next coming week and this today, let's be reminded of that. That's what Paul uses to point to, say, this is how committed we are to you, as Kenzo is out there with Honora. That's what we were like with you, Thessalonian Christians. But he starts with the mother. Good place to start. Verse 7, he says this, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Surely you remember our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone. It's likely that Paul and Silas and Timothy and the others worked as tent makers in Thessalonica. They worked from morning till night as tent makers, and then they went to the church meetings in the evening. They were hard at work not to be a burden on anybody. And it reminds me of a mother. There's no, talking about this with Sahel the other week, there are no working hours for a mum. There's no holiday leave. There's no paid retirement. It's a role that people take on, and it is for life, and it is to share life. And Paul says, that is how I was with you. That is how we were with you. And I wonder, as we think about the 2020 vision, the third one down is welcoming everybody. Welcoming everybody. How far will we go to welcome everybody here at church? Will we just stick with the folks that we know and the groups that we know and the safe areas that we're happy with? Or will we get up and cross the room and see somebody we don't know and make them feel welcome and share our lives with them, invite them for a meal in our homes and have that sense of welcome? There's an old joke about church, isn't there? Churches are like helicopters. Don't get too close or you get sucked into the rotor. And it's a funny joke, but I fundamentally disagree with it, because if we're part of a family, and Paul's talking family here, fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, then surely we want to be a part of sharing our lives with one another. And sometimes rotors can be a pain, but they're a way, a step towards showing welcome, towards being a friendly face, to having a space that's like home here. Now, I'm not going to embarrass the person involved by name, but I was given this week a tea cozy. Well, I was given two, actually. This is the second one. And as I was thinking about this tea cozy, I was thinking how wonderful it is that people can use their gifts and their skills to bless and to serve others in simple but really deep ways. And you might be thinking, well, it's all very well to think about Paul or Silas or Timothy sharing their lives with others. Well, they could preach and they could lead worship and they could do all those kind of public things. But me, I can't do anything. Well, we all have gifts, we all have skills, whether that might be knitting or it might be web design or whatever it might be. So many things that we can bring and share as we share our lives with each other, as we welcome everybody at Jump. We're going to try to burn this with Claire's candle. I'll put it there. There we go. So Paul says, we were like mothers to you, like mothers nursing their children. And then verse 11 and 12, he says this, we dealt with you as a father deals with his own children. And that's important because it's not someone else's children, his own children. And how is that? Verse 12, this is how a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God. Encouraging, just dwell on those words, encouraging, comforting, urging, that you might live lives worthy of God. And note the gentleness there. You may have had a good or bad experience of fathers. There's no bullying in these words at all. Encouraging, comforting, urging, no picking faults, but encouraging, comforting, with the aim of seeing others living lives worthy of God. And the last one I'm going to mention on the 2020 vision here, we're growing as followers of Jesus to be people, to be church that is growing as followers. How far will we go to live lives worthy of God, to grow as followers of Jesus? And importantly, as we think about this passage, how far will we go to help others to grow? Now, we have home groups. They're a wonderful space to encourage each other to grow, encourage each other to explore and ask questions and pray together. But there's other ways too, meeting with a friend, speaking with people who are sat next to you this morning, offering to pray with someone. How far will we go? That's the question on there. How far will we go to see this church be a place where we are all growing as followers of Jesus? So we have two questions. The aim is that you would be inspired to be a part of our vision. The aim is that we would all together work to see the 2020 vision become reality. And I wonder, as we do that, where is your place in that? We've seen some snapshots today. Actually, we heard from Jackie. That was just a snapshot, wasn't it, into Jackie's experience of walking with God. Here in 1 Thessalonians is a snapshot of Paul and Silas and Timothy walking with God. But we all have our own story, and we all have our own gifts and skills that we come with when we come to church and be a part of this church. Let's be inspired by these snapshots we've seen today. Let's go and reflect what motivates us. How far will we go? What would God say to us? How would God inspire us? Let's pray, and then we're going to sing our final song. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your word, for your Holy Spirit at work. Father, as we think about what motivates us deep down, pray that you'd help us to avoid being too self-critical. Help us to avoid feeling discouraged when we look at the experience of others. But Lord, would you help us to be inspired? That is our love for you and our love for one another that drives us. And as we put that motivation at the heart, at the center of who we are, that you would use us. And as we think about how far will we go, what extent will we go to, Lord, we pray that you would open up our eyes to see where you're calling us to be more involved or committed in different areas of our lives and our church life. And we pray as we sing, as we finish our service here, that our vision, that our eyes will be fixed on you. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.